Hello and welcome to Join the Docs, our weekly peek into the medical nether regions. Today, Dr. Nigel Guest and I are going to share what doctors secretly discuss when they get together. Uranus. Not the planet Uranus, your anus. Well, maybe not yours, but you might be surprised how often people put things into their anus for pleasure, and then discover it won't come out and bring their issue, or in-you if you will, to our hospital. This is a common practice and may be increasing in frequency with the growth of online pornography and the art of the possible, or should I say the arse of the possible. While seemingly a topic for jocularity, the consequences can be very serious, even fatal. Heard of a romance that exploded with passion? Well, we have an example or two of just that. We're going to share how we treat these situations and going to get to the bottom of the various implications from medical to legal. From perfume bottles to vibrators, from delicious vegetables to small mammals, we shall extract the facts from fiction. So, rest your rump comfortably, suspend disbelief, and listen in to Join the Docs. So, on the menu today, well, Nigel, if this was a golf show, we might talk about a hole-in-one. But as this is a doctor show, a medical show, we're going to talk about one in a hole, or actually one in several holes, referring to the anatomy. Right. So, Nigel, I know that you're a gardener. I'm holding something in my hand. What is this that you can see?
I think, Jonathan, we call that an aubergine.
Yes, indeed. I'm holding an aubergine in my hand. Or in other words, if you're an American, it's an eggplant. And I'm also now holding something else in my hand. What do you call that, Nigel?
I'd call that a courgette.
A courgette. Or in America, they call it a zucchini, right?
Of course they do.
So I'm holding a zucchini in one hand and an aubergine in the other. So you might say A to Z or A to Z if you're an American. And what I'd like to discuss, first of all, is, if you'll forgive the expression, the anus. But I want to start with the aubergine. I was recently doing some cooking and texting with a friend, and they said to me, what is it you're making? And I was making some ratatouille, so I texted an emoji of what I'm holding in my hand, an aubergine. And I got a bunch of laughing emojis back.
I'm not surprised.
Well, I was a little bit mystified as to why. I now know why. I now know that the aubergine means something else. But frankly,
and if are you cooking this penis?
It's an aubergine, Nigel. Oh. It's an aubergine. You've got a perverse mind. So I'm now holding in my hand a light bulb. So what do you think
Or as the Americans call it, a light bulb.
What do you think an aubergine, a zucchini, and a light bulb having? Well, first of all, the light bulb I'm holding in my hand, what does that normally reference as an emoji or in a cartoon?
Well, it's an idea, isn't it?
It's an idea. So what do you think that's got to do with aubergines and zucchini?
Well, they all have a very similar shape, don't they?
They do have a similar shape. And actually, there is a very, very interesting scientific paper which is all about things that people have inserted into their anus.
Right.
And from aubergine to zucchini. And unfortunately, as a surgeon, I've got a lot of experience removing such things. So I'd like to start at the very beginning. We'll get round to anuses, but let's start at the top of the digestive tract, the mouth.
Right. Okay. So in my experience, is somewhat limited in things of being things in people's mouths, but there are some interesting experiences in terms of things that sort of get stuck down your throat. I mean, the classic is a fishbone, isn't it? I mean, our dear Queen Mum, who died a few years ago, was famous for having had a fishbone stuck in her throat. And my own mum
was famous for quite a number of things. Mainly
for a fishbone stuck in her throat. But the main thing in my family is the other queen in my family, my mother, was famous for fearing she'd have a fishbone stuck in her throat. And I don't know about if you've ever had a fishbone stuck in your throat. It's very unpleasant. Happened to me a few times, happened to a previous partner of mine, and we must get that removed very soon.
Well, the previous partner.
No, both of them, the previous partner and the fishbone from her throat. I keep putting it off.
So, of course, sometimes people who do get fishbones stuck in their throat and they go to see their doctor, it is a very unpleasant sensation. Sometimes they get referred to people like me, and then we have to put an endoscope down the throat and remove it. But it is important that if you get a fishbone, you do attend the doctor and you don't wait, because it can actually be quite dangerous.
Yes, you can get perforations and all sorts of other aspects of that. So while we're talking about mouths, the other one that I came across, which is painful but amusing, is that occasionally people think it's a great idea to lick something which is frozen. It might be the outside of an
ice cream or something.
Well, no, I think I was thinking of more frozen than that. I was thinking about something metallic, you know, like an ice bucket. You can tell the life I lead, but something like that. Or I have seen occasions when people have just decided to lick frozen metal outside just to
why,
say,
for goodness sake?
Who would know? Who would know? But what tends to happen if you tend to lick something that is considerably frozen is that your tongue will stick to it. And not only will it stick to it, you won't be able to get it off. And that's really stupid thing to do. Well, I find that vodka helps. So I usually have a
drink of vodka first.
I have a glass of vodka while I think about what to do with them. And I say, well, how did you do that? And they go, yeah, if you put some alcohol, it doesn't have to be vodka, other alcohols are available, but a high-proof alcohol, it's a great solvent, obviously reduces the temperature at which it freezes, or increases the temperature which it freezes, or one way around or the other, and it releases it, and you get a bit of vodka as well, so it's a bonus. Win-win.
Sounds like a plan. So talking about things that people put in mouth, I know it's a bit of a corny old thing, but, you know, I'm holding my hand a bullet-shaped object. You know what that is, Nigel?
It's a suppository,
Jonathan. It's a suppository, and of course there's, you know, if you have a patient who's got some constipation, these are useful to keep in the house. If you get a bit constipated, pop one of these up where the sun don't shine.
I think I should say at this point is you should take the cover off.
You definitely take the foil off.
It's a bit sharp otherwise.
Yes, it's a bit greasy otherwise if you hold it. Yes, absolutely, Nigel. It is in a plastic cover. But, you know, the classic of having a patient, you give them suppositories and they come back and say it didn't work. And you say...
for all the good that was, I may as well have stuck it up my backside.
Exactly right.
I know.
You want me to put it where? Absolutely. So I have seen patients who put interesting things in their mouths, so-called stuffers and swallowers, people who are transporting drugs. They're mules.
Right.
They're people. They're not mules.
No, clearly
they're,
that would be
people
ridiculous.
Who are mules.
Well, you can't get them on the plane, can you?
No, you need a bloody big seat.
I think that's a giveaway.
But anyway, they put drugs into things like condoms or wrap them in cling film, saran wrap in the States. And I actually had a patient who came in unconscious, had traveled from the Far East to, I believe it was Amsterdam, and then into London, and came into the emergency room, you know, unresponsive, unconscious, and a very astute emergency doctor diagnosed why this patient was so sick, and took an x-ray, and you could see that the entire gut was stuffed with these things.
And some of them had leaked.
And some of them had leaked, yeah, they're semi-permeable. So we actually took him to the operating theatre, had to open him up, open the gut and sort of milk these things out. It was rather boring surgery, I have to tell you, because it was just endlessly milking these damn things out of the gut and putting them into a bowl. And there were two police officers, well, I say standing in the room. One of them stood for about 30 seconds and promptly passed out. Bloody great big fella. The other fella was just standing there watching all the proceedings and counting. And I thought I'd make idle conversation. I said to him, how much is one of these worth on the street? And he said, why are you asking, doctor? I said, well, I don't exactly get paid overtime. And he said, that's not very funny, doctor. Put it in the bowl, shut up and keep operating.
I like a policeman with a sense of humour.
There's not too many of them. But that does take us back down, conveniently, to the anus. The problem is in medicine, once you've done something and you've talked about it, everyone in the hospital thinks you're an expert. So every time someone came in with something...
I thought you built a career on that.
Every time someone came in with something up their bum, they, well, let's call Sakia. So I got called for loads of these things. And I looked at the history of this. It was first talked about, you know, hundreds of years ago, the 16th, 17th centuries, people right. writing about it. The belief was that people were doing this to either ease constipation or an itchy anus, pruritus ani. But in 1919, there was a doctor who, for the first time, as far as I can ascertain, referenced sexual stimulation as a cause. It was a gentleman who had a glass tumbler up where the sun don't shine, the open end sort of facing down, and it had been
naturally. I mean, what sort of fool would try and put one in the other way around? Good grief.
Good point. It was empty, I should tell you. And he had put this thing in with the assistance of his lady friend. And the doctor had to operate to remove this. Unfortunately, the man did succumb to the injury, as often happens.
And how's the glass?
There's no mention in the paper about the glass, but there's a certain wicked irony. The doctor's name was Dr. Smiley, can you imagine?
Yeah. What was he called before he did that?
Well, I'm sure the poor patient wasn't, but, you know...
Ironic grin.
So I've mentioned that, you know, about 104 years ago, 104 years ago, 105 years ago, something like that, this was first referenced. Today, with the growth of online pornography and, you know, what is possible, what is acceptable, the incidence of this seems to be increasing. And there are, you know, whenever doctors get together, whenever the surgeons get together, invariably we compare notes on what has been removed from someone's derriere, their tuchus, their sit-upon.
What is the collective term for a bunch of surgeons? Is it an ego?
An ego.
An arrogance? A bloodbath?
Oh, jeez. It's good to know who your friends are, really, isn't it? An intellectual absence? They could be any of those things. But, you know, importantly, Nigel, there are dangers. There are moral dangers. There are certainly physical dangers. There are sexual dangers. And sometimes, you know, you have to think about, you know, is this a consensual act or has there been assault? So as doctors, we have to think about a number of things. So I've mentioned the aubergine and I've mentioned the courgette. I also on one occasion removed one of these. So I'm holding in my hand another garden item. Nigel, would you like to identify what's in my hand?
I hope it isn't a chili.
It is a chili pepper. And because of its, I guess, phallic shape, a gentleman inserted one of these. His anal tone caused the darn thing to rupture.
Oh, that's going
to
make your eyes water.
It wasn't his eye. I think everything was watering. The guy was a real, real mess and actually had very serious burns to the lower part of his anatomy, should we say. So there are risks. And, you know, I've mentioned there's obviously a criminal risk. There are health risks, but there's also long-term risks to the anus. The anus is actually an extremely complex mechanism that helps retain continence. And I've seen a number of patients whose continence has been destroyed and actually require major surgery to try and improve it. It's largely men that do this, but women also. And, you know, there's the old joke about the woman who comes in with a vibrator that stuck says, no, don't remove it. Just
change the batteries.
Just change the batteries. There you go. So I actually wrote a paper once with some colleagues and we submitted it. It was accepted. 48 patients of mine with different techniques to remove them. We had some bizarre ones. There was an elderly gentleman, beautifully dressed, you know, suit and tie. And he came in and he had a hard-boiled egg inside his anus, and he maintained that he'd been assaulted at a bus stop by four Utes who'd assaulted him and inserted this egg in his anus.
I have to ask, was it peeled or was it still have the shell on?
It was not peeled. And when I said it was assaulted, it wasn't a salted egg.
And how would you know it was hard-boiled?
Well, that's a great question.
Well, how did he know it was hard-boiled?
We didn't crack it open to check it. And, you know, but the stories that these people tell, and I know there's a huge amount of embarrassment involved. We had this one chap who came in, you know those beautiful, elegant glass vases that you use to hold a single rose?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, he had one of those. Right. In his anus.
Was the rose still in?
The rose was absent.
Right.
Actually, I should tell you that after removing it, I cleaned it and I had this thing on my desk for a long time.
Oh, tell me, put a rose in it.
With a rose in it. But the stories they tell, this guy maintained that he was pretending it was a microphone and he was singing along, drying his hair.
Talking through your backside to a whole new element, isn't it?
And someone rang the doorbell and he got such a shock, he swallowed it. Now, this is like a 12-inch long vase. And your comprehension of the body's anatomy to understand how a rose vase could make its way all round the gut. Obviously, that's not what had happened. You were telling me about an anal... Something
practice.
To do with a toe bar?
Yeah, apparently. It's a niche thing, clearly. But some people get pleasure
apparently, from either bedposts, which obviously one can insert in one's anus or vagina carefully. Sorry, that's cheese. You can't insert that. Well, I suppose you could do. But it's, or a tow bar, the ball, tow bar on a car. Right. Now, the mind boggles in terms of that.
Sorry, can it still, while it's connected to the car?
Well, it's obviously connected to the car. You wouldn't take the tow bar. My worry is if somebody drives off while you're doing it. You would be, your little legs would be going very quickly, wouldn't they? Or you'd be standing up very quickly anyway,
oh,
that's
my
for sure.
Goodness
it's
gracious.
Amazing,
me.
But that's what happens. And that's, you know, people, as you said before, can do significant injury to themselves. You know, whatever turns you on in terms of your own sexual practice. But I mean, sometimes these things are dangerous and damaging.
Well, it's important to make the point, consensual sex between two consenting adults, as long as they're both happy, it's fine. But it's important that people understand the medical risks of doing certain things like this. I mean, you know, we had in our paper and in subsequent experience are all sorts of dildos. There was one, there's a practice called fisting, which is where a fist and a forearm are inserted for sexual gratification. But on this occasion,
I think vets do that all the time, don't they?
Well, we'll come on to that.
They have a big, long plastic glove.
We'll come on to that in okay. a second. But this was a chap who, it was a prosthetic fist. So it was basically made of silicone. It was a fake arm and fist. And we removed this thing. I cleaned it off and I was assembling quite a collection. I thought it'd be nice to have like a little museum up in the Department of Surgery. I cleaned it off and I was walking down the corridor of the hospital holding this wretched thing. And someone screamed as I went past. Presumably that was not the first time someone had screamed in association with it. But removing that, that was a struggle. That was certainly a struggle.
Didn't you just hold it by the hand and just put it?
He was new means
was the wrong way in.
To shaking hands. What else? We've seen there's a form of vibrator where the tip of the vibrator makes a circular movement so that it's rather like a lumbricoides,
a worm. Yeah.
And it can work its way around the gut. And
of course,
the classic story is that, you know, when you examine a patient, one of the things you do is you listen to their abdomen, mm-hmm. right? And you can hear this sort of buzzing noise coming and then going, sort of like a train going past as you endeavor to track it. We had one chap who had the leg of a bedpost with the wheel attached and a bolt. And his story as to how it had got there was a little bit troublesome because he maintained it was attached to the bed when he inadvertently sat on it, which of course rendered the question, how did he come there? And he explained that he had to spin round and round to unscrew the leg from the bed. Actually, I've got another one for you, Nigel. Again, going back to your interest in gardening. As I recall, you've got some privet hedges at your house.
Do you have privet hedges?
How do you trim them?
With shears.
Electric or hand?
Both.
Both, right. Okay, at the same time, presumably. So we had a chap with, if people can't imagine what a garden shear looks like, it's... Well, you describe the handle, Nigel.
Well, the handles are, 30 centimetres long? Cylindrical, 3 centimetres across, maybe 3.5 centimetres across.
Well, the chap
you see
came
we're going,
in
sort of courgette shaped.
Yeah, well, it's a bloody great big courgette, and a chap came in with one of those inserted, and again needed a major operation to remove it, and had done some major damage to his colon and his rectum. And some of these are. There's one case in the literature of a group of young men sort of horsing around at a garage with a young colleague. And they got one of these high-pressure air hoses, and they held it next to his backside. He was fully clothed. And they blasted him with air, and it actually blew apart his colon, disconnected his... It wrecked him, truly wrecked him. And then there's... A lot of people may not know what a hand grenade looks like. It's a sort of like a size and shape of a pear, and it has like crenated pieces of, I don't even know that's a word, separate pieces of metal around the outside, and there's a sprung arm that's held in place by a pin. You take the pin out, the arm flies open, and then you've got, I don't know, a few seconds, depending on the fuse, till the damn thing blows up. Well, a group of squaddies thought it'd be very entertaining to pull the pin and put one of these up a guy's rear end.
Oh, my God.
So that his anal tone was effectively holding the trigger down. And you can imagine being the surgeon removing that and thinking, you know, do you need a surgeon or a bomb disposal expert?
A bomb disposal.
There you are. So I've mentioned, obviously, you need to be sympathetic. You need to be kind when dealing with these patients. But you also need to be creative because sometimes, you know, getting the right piece of kit to remove them, if it's a hollow item, like a bottle or something, it can be difficult to get hold of, or lasso. You can sort of stuff plaster of Paris bandages into it, let it set, and then pull it out.
I would imagine ingenuity is quite...
Ingenuity,
And the internet.
Yeah, ingenuity and the internet absolutely is necessary. So the majority of them, we managed to get them out in the emergency room, in the accident emergency department. Others need an anaesthetic. Some need major surgery. So it can be problematic. Actually, there's one article I'd love to quote from. American English, you know, I practiced in America for many years. They use certain words differently. They use the word emergent to mean an emergency. And in doing research for this episode, Nigel, I came across this paper titled Novel Bedside Utilization of Foley Catheter in the Emergent Removal of Colorectal Foreign Body, a Case Report and Literature Review. Emergent? Well, of course it was bloody emerging. What else would it bloody well do? And for those who don't know, a Foley catheter is like a tube with a balloon on the end. So you put it past the obstruction, blow up the balloon, and then pull it back. There were stories circulating a number of years ago about a small rodent called a gerbil. And the practice of certain, should we say, prominent people to insert them into their derrieres for sexual gratification.
Via a tube, I understand, rather than trying to stuff a small furry gerbil up your bottom.
Exactly, or even a moderate-sized furry. Anyway, when we were writing the paper, I wanted to, because I'd never seen a case and I'd never heard of one in my hospital, so I wrote to a bunch of friends around the world who work in emergency rooms or in surgery, and asking them if they'd ever seen a case. And I mostly got letters back saying, no, you know, I think it's an urban myth and blah, blah, blah. There's one guy, I'm going to preserve his identity. He wrote back to, I got a big envelope one day, big envelope from this chap, recognized the address, opened it up, and he says, yes, John, I have seen a case. Feel free to use this x-ray. And it was an x-ray of the belly and pelvis of a gentleman. And he had superimposed on top of it the image of a very well-known cartoon mouse whose copyright has just expired. And the mouse was sort of doing a, like, help, get me out of here pose. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. So if you've done this to yourself or your sex partner has done to this, and by the way, commonly it's bottles.
Glass bottles, 40% is 40%.
Well, we all need to, you know, recycle nowadays. I don't think that's quite what people
meant. Changes your carbon footprint. I don't know about any other footprint. Yeah.
Change your footprint all the way to the hospital.
Actually, just to go back. Your gerbil, because I'm intrigued by this. How do you get the gerbil out? I mean, do you entice? Do you say, just lie there and we'll leave some nuts and some bits of apple and some cheese, and just wait for nature to take its course, or literally, metaphorically?
I think it's an urban myth, Nigel. I'm sure maybe if our listeners or our viewers can advise us differently, but I've certainly never seen a case. I don't know any surgeons who've actually seen a case. But again, very, very important. If this happens to you or to someone you know, get thee to a doctor, because it can actually be fatal. So take these sort of things very, very seriously. And again, online pornography. I think we could do multiple episodes on that, Nigel, about the health risks pornography. But we'll come on to that another day. So hopefully we've stimulated your appetite for more medical morsels. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Like us on social media. Tell your friends. It does help. And you can reach out to us to ask us questions, make suggestions, as long as they're polite. You can reach us on all the social media at Join the Docs. And please also join us at the website, jointhedocs.com. There's all sorts of additional information. We'll be adding stuff continuously. There's going to be great merchandise featuring the work of our resident artist, Robin Gott. Until next time, please stay happy, stay healthy, because it beats the alternatives. Remember, you're going to spend a long time dead. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
We are grateful for you listening to Join the Docs. This is the legal stuff now that we have to say. The views and opinions expressed on Join the Docs are those of Dr. Nigel Guest, myself, Jonathan Sakia, and other people on our show, but please be aware that Join the Docs is not intended to be medical advice. It's for information and entertainment only. Please always take any health concerns to your doctor or other healthcare provider. We respect the privacy of patients and never identify individuals unless they've consented. We may change details, dates, place names, and so on to protect privacy. Listening to Join the Docs, interacting on our social media, emailing or writing does not establish a doctor-patient relationship. Phew, well, I'm glad that's out the way. Please, everyone, be safe and well.